this is kind of the same thing, except for it's like a three-dimensional video. So it's like steaming and stuff. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about AR Kit from Apple. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. A little bit of housekeeping first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on vacation next week.
Oh, nice.
So, unless Kelly wants to do a solo episode, pretty sure we're going to not have an episode next week.
Yeah, we got too much going on to record ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like the classic vacation conundrum is like, okay, that means you have to do 2 weeks worth of work the week before you go.
Yes, or oddly somehow 3 weeks worth when you get back.
Yeah, it grows while in your absence. It's like rust, fungus. Cool, so let's talk about augmented reality, shall we?
Yes.
Seems like everybody's getting in on the AR game these days, all the big players. Facebook, Google, Apple.
Microsoft.
Yeah, big time. I'm trying to think, has there been a big announcement from Amazon? Not really, but they seem to be nipping around the edges with things like the Echo Show and the Look.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Do you think this is, could augmented reality or virtual reality be part of why they tried to get into the phone thing, do you think? Because the phone just ended up going nowhere and they did nothing with it.
The phone, from what I read, you know, people familiar with the matter, the phone was a vanity project that Bezos started too late and then was constantly playing catch-up before they could even release the thing. So by the time it was released, it was just a disaster area of silly features.
Yeah, I just wondered if they could have been planning to do some kind of VR, phone-based VR with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, yeah. Like I said, from the stuff I read, and I used the phone, it was, let's just say it wasn't worth what they were charging for it. So, yeah, I'm trying hard not to go down a Fire phone.
Yeah, sorry.
It was terrible. Anyway, so, okay. So the thing that sort of inspired this particular conversation was a blog I came across called Made with AR Kit. And AR Kit is a relatively new software development kit from our friends at Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically simplifies a lot of the things that you want to do using the camera as an input sensor and also a kind of a canvas. So you can, you know, the camera will detect flat surfaces and the shapes of objects and kind of like what's happening dimensionally in the space that you're pointing it at, which unlocks a lot of possibilities. But if you're like me, it's not obvious what they are. So you're like, wow, that seems like an incredibly hard thing to do. But what would you do with it?
Yeah. I have a harder time finding a use for AR than I do for VR.
But so here's the funny thing, though. I think that, and we've talked about this before, VR seems like the one that will happen first, or at least it did to me at one time, because it's easier. You know, overlaying stuff on the actual world is much more complicated than just creating a, you know, basically creating something with a gaming engine and putting the screen on your face.
Yeah.
So that you can look around and, you know, it's obviously not easy. There's a lot of people spending a lot of money trying to get it right. And it's not hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but it seems dramatically easier to me, from a position of naivete, probably. It seems dramatically easier than overlaying virtual objects in the real world. But we've seen some large-scale versions of this so far that are sort of really, really small proof-of-concept sorts of things, but on a vast scale, indicating their popularity with the general public. For example, Snapchat filters.
Yes.
And
yes, the Pokemon Go that everyone was obsessed for 1 month last summer.
Yeah. So I feel like it's something that people have indicated that they like if there's a compelling value proposition. And so far, the compelling value proposition is that it's super entertaining.
Yeah, and it's not even good AR at the moment, and it's entertaining.
Right. I mean, my kids will ask me, "Can we play Snapchat?" You know, they just want to sit there for 15 minutes and see what the new filters are and which ones they like and what they're going to do and the voice change and the face change and face swap and all that. It's right. Fun. It is fun. I have to admit, it's super, you know, it's like, oh, that's what I'd look like if I was an EV. So, which is not that good. Okay. So Apple threw their hat in the ring. And I know nothing about this from a technical standpoint. I haven't looked at it at all. But there's this blog called madewitharkit.com where people can submit videos of their, of the things they've kind of slapped together, apparently pretty quickly. And some of them are really, some of them are close enough to useful that you can, it starts, at least in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay. This will be every department store will have this. You know, Amazon will clearly have this, whether it's something that some platform that they control or whether it's something that they support or it's a new interface that they provide, the way they've got, you know, web and voice and so on and so forth. But I've been going through pages and pages of these videos that people have made, with their iPhones. Mm-hmm. And a couple of categories are kind of starting to emerge that, you know, there's some obvious stuff like placing furniture or housewares in your room.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's like a pretty, it's when you see it, it sounds sort of hokey, I think. If someone just said it to me, I'd be like, whatever. But when you see it, you're like, wow, that really looks like that couch is in my living room.
Right. Yeah. I go through phases where I have to redecorate my office about once a year, and something like that would be useful.
Yeah. Imagine if you could like, and this is not fanciful. This would totally be possible. You could point your camera at your room, maybe do a, almost like a panorama, like look all the way around your room and just hit shuffle and have it randomly rearrange your office in the photo and then like go. And then you'd be like, yeah, that's a good one. I'll just do that. And then actually move it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could push the button and get it to actually move it too.
That would rule.
Yeah.
Drones come in through the window and rearrange your couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Sofa drones.
That's funny. Cooper's been said to me on more than one occasion, Cooper's room is a complete mess. I mean, like, no worse than mine was when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, he's a kid. Yeah.
He's a kid. But I mean, it is like seriously ankle breaking mess. You know, Nerf guns all over the floor, no place to put your feet. It's like doing parkour to get into his bed.
Yeah, I have a teenager room, and it's not a whole lot better. So
that makes me feel better. But he said recently on a couple of occasions, he's just kind of mumbling to himself, I wish there was a button for this.
Right.
And I'm like, well, maybe a drone button, AR, put it all together. All of a sudden, you've got a Roomba that actually straightens up.
Yeah, you have a Rosie.
Yeah. Okay. So back to reality, augmented reality. So the placing furniture or pillows on your couch or all of this stuff, it's super practical. You can see immediately that I can certainly imagine that it would decrease my, you know, is this the right blanket for the bed or how are these curtains going to look and all that sort of thing. So for a retailer, for someone like IKEA, this is like brain dead obvious. They should absolutely, if they're not working on this, I'd be surprised.
Right, they should, yeah, because this is interesting because, like I said a while back, I think I mentioned it before, but we were looking at floor plans and things, and we're planning to hopefully build a house next year. And so we'd find floor plans we'd like, and then I'd be like, okay, but it's kind of hard to get the scale from a little floor plan. Richard, build this in VR so we can walk through it.
Yeah, right. That reminds me, I totally forgot about this use case. It's sort of related to the furniture thing where, you know, the person's got their phone and they're pointing it at they're in the kitchen and there's, you know, cabinets and refrigerator and garbage can and, you know, dogs walking through and all that, doorways. And they point the camera at the place where the wall meets the floor. And this little, like, I almost want to say like a Photoshop cursor type of thing, almost like a target from a first person shooter game shows up and it zooms in on like a point where the wall turns and there's a corner, but it's the intersection of this corner of two walls and the floor.
Okay.
And it finds that point and it marks it. And then you move the phone, you point the camera along the bottom base of the wall and it draws a line and measures and just shows a little like 16 inches. And you can go and then you point and then across the door and it's like, you know, 32 inches, you know, 32.5 inches across the doorway. And the person just went around and measured out the entire floor plan of the kitchen.
Oh, wow. If that's accurate, that would be handy for a lot of things.
So, yeah, I mean, never mind. You could create a VR map from it pretty quickly, I imagine. But you could also say, like, how much, you know, instead of grabbing a tape measure and being like, how much room do we have for a new dishwasher? Like, how big is the old dishwasher? You just point this at it. It's like, oh, it's like 46 inches.
Yeah, that's a wide dishwasher.
Yeah, we have fat dishes. Okay, so that was certainly one category. It's kind of like placing things. It's not quite manipulating the environment in your house, but certainly reimagining what it might look like with products from some company. And the thing that seems so realistic about this is that there's a clear business model behind it, so that investing in the technology makes sense because there's potentially profit to be had from it. Mm-hmm. Another one that was sort of similar, but in a different environment was, you know, you're sort of, the camera is held by someone seated at a table in a restaurant and it's pointed at the empty table and they're sort of swiping through dishes of what they want to order. Right. But they're like 3D and you can like move your head around to kind of look. It's just not this flat static picture. You can kind of look around and turn the bowl and see if you like the looks of it and then swipe to the next one, swipe to the next one, swipe to the next one. And be like, yeah, that looks good. That looks good.
Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. So if you imagine, you know, it's like I imagine the sort of sushi restaurant where they've got the plastic sushi in the window so you can kind of see in three dimensions what it's going to look like. This is kind of the same thing, except for it's like a three-dimensional video. So it's like steaming and stuff. You know, it's like, here's a bowl of hot steaming soup. Like, I want that. You know, I kind of do want that. I just said it. Now I want it.
Yeah.
So the power of suggestion there is super interesting. The question is, you know, how do you, this is a question for a few of these, I suppose, but the idea of, you know, people coming into a restaurant and instead of having menus, you say, hey, everybody pull out your phone and point it at the table and install our app and launch it and do all of this stuff. It's, you know, that's way, way, way too much barrier to entry and too weird.
Yeah. Like there's a restaurant here that we go to that they have like tablets that they hand out that let you interact with like trivia games that they're showing on the TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you'd need something like that, I would think.
Right. It just occurred to me that it might make more sense for a company like OrderUp or Seamless who kind of centralize the delivery of real restaurant food.
Oh, right. Yeah, it would. Just open your Grubhub app and point it at your table. Uh-huh. Flip through different dishes from different restaurants and say, okay, I want this one. That seems like that would be far more useful than in an actual restaurant.
Yeah, it does not. Go ahead.
Yeah, or at least, I don't know, less friction.
Yeah, it's not as socially awkward.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. But so those were two or three that I felt were pretty practical. You could sort of see a business model. You could see why somebody might invest in it. I guarantee you Domino's going to be all over this because they jump on every single.
Yeah, they do.
They're super cutting edge.
Yeah, I could see this. Like I would like to have this for instance, for Amazon, where I could just look at Amazon products in that way, because there's a lot of times where I'm looking at something on Amazon, I'm like, you know, the photo doesn't quite get it. Like, oh, that's a really dark fabric in this photo, so I can't see how many pockets this thing has inside, or that kind of stuff. So.
Totally, yeah. So especially if it's something that's going to be situated in the environment, and it's really, I mean, you know, obviously people will link to it in the show notes, but go to madewitharkit.com, and there's some pretty, it's pretty jaw-dropping. Then those were the only practical ones I found, ones that seemed like, oh, that makes sense for a business to actually invest in doing.
Yeah.
And then there are other ones that are more in the entertainment realm, or maybe it's just not obvious what a more practical application is yet, but they're amazing. So one of them one category I kind of refer to is creature in the living room.
Right.
So there's a bunch of them where there's like, you know, it's kind of like Pokemon Go, but way more realistic. I mean, there's this one I'm looking at right now, robot dancing in my living room, that you're like, that looks like there's a robot in the living room. And again, Maggie, you know, 3 years old, when she wants to play Snapchat, they're starting to have these filters where instead of a selfie filter that goes over your face, it's a portrait filter where, you know, the person holding the phone is pointing using the normal away from you facing camera, the back camera, to take a picture of someone, you know, in a room or whatever. And you can place these characters, these cartoon characters, like standing there with the kids. So she'll be like, you know, there's this hot dog one. It's like a hot dog character. And she's like, where is he? Cause she can't see where he is cause she's over there. And I'm like, move up a little bit. Okay. Now, and I can move him around and place him.
Yeah.
And he sizes appropriately. If you move him off into the distance, he gets smaller and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really basic and not sophisticated. I mean, it's not sophisticated. It's like it would be unheard of 2 years ago, but
right.
it's not really that sophisticated compared to these. It's not three-dimensional, for example. I don't think you can actually walk around it or anything. I could be wrong about that, come to think of it, but it's certainly not as realistic as some of the examples that, you know, I'm seeing on this website. Mm-hmm. It's really wild. There's another one, like two guys playing basketball, but they're not really there, you know?
The ball is virtual.
Yeah, there's another one of the Falcon 9 landing in somebody's pool. It's like I said, it's kind of still in the entertainment realm, but I'm reasonably certain that it's something that could follow that toy arc where new technology comes out and it seems like a toy and something that just kids would use. But then all of a sudden, either some practical applications become self-evident or the kids grow up and they're super familiar with this tool and all this toy. And all of a sudden they start to use it as a tool. Like,
why start to use it? Yeah.
Yeah. So that one is really interesting. But the one that is the most eye-popping and it's almost hard to get your head around it. Like, how is this even happening? This is a terrible thing to try and describe in an audio format, but so imagine if you will. It is the TARDIS. This category of AR is like the TARDIS category where
bigger on the inside.
Yes. So you're standing, imagine yourself, you're standing on a city street and you're holding your phone up. And you're, you know, just like normal with the camera turned on and through the phone, you see the city street, but there's a doorway just randomly in the middle of the road or in the middle of the sidewalk. That's not really there. It's just on the phone camera and you go up and you open the door and you can look through it as long as the camera's in front of your face. You can look through it and see like the Bahamas, like a beach scene in the Bahamas. And here's where it gets extra weird. Like, that's kind of cool. Okay, great. But that's basically the same thing as the robot in the living room.
Yeah.
Except for you can't look inside the robot, but you could probably if you had a panel on his chest. But the thing is, you can walk through the door. So you've got the phone. It's in front of your face. You move forward through where the door is in virtual space. And now you're, now if you just keep looking at the phone, now you're in the Bahamas. And
can you turn around? You turn around and walk back through the door?
No, you're trapped there.
Oh, okay.
You can.
I wouldn't mind being trapped in the Bahamas right now after the week I've had.
No, but you turn around and you can see this door in the middle of the Bahamas that is the street scene.
That's wild.
It's so mind-blowing.
You put that on a headset?
Yeah, that's the thing. You put that on a headset and it's this... It's
like what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like which one of these is the real world?
Right. And if you mapped it, it would be pretty important to map the Bahamas scene to objects in the physical space on the street.
Yeah, so you're not walking into traffic.
Right, so instead of like taxis driving by, it's like a stream of elephants stampeding, so you know not to jump in front of them. But you combine that with headphones, and all of a sudden...
You're just teleporting around between worlds, and one of them happens to be real, but you forgot which one it was 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, where's the door?
Yeah.
You know, and it's... So it just turns into VR, but the entry point is so dramatic that you're like, whoa. The most hilarious one is that, you know, that 80s video Take On Me, I don't think that's the name of it, but in the video, this real life, you know, live action, I think it's a girl sort of falls in love with a drawing of a guy and he pulls her into the piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then she's in this paper world. Well, somebody did that in their living room. And they sort of did they tried to kind of do the video note for note and the person holding the phone walks in and turns around and you look back through the door and you see his kids back in the kitchen dancing, but they're occluded by the door. So if you put that on a headset, it would just be like, why would I ever go back to regular reality?
Just going to jump between worlds here for a while.
Yeah. So to go back to Cooper's messy room, the floor would just be like, you could have like a forest floor with gnarly roots and, you know,
yeah, like
vines and things that you have to step over. So at least you're not looking at a million Nerf guns. Just so anyway, so I think I wonder if it turns out that AR really goes mainstream before VR does. I certainly think that once they're both mainstream is not really the right word. Once they both pass the tipping point, AR will be way bigger because AR.
I think so too.
Yeah. AR is more like mobile. It's something that is always on, always with you. And VR is really not. You can't. It's hard to imagine VR, even if the headgear and all that stuff was more conveniently sized and wireless and all that. What would be the point of wearing it around to have your vision completely blocked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's a military application, but it seems to me that for mainstream use, AR glasses is, or whatever, AR mounted on your face somehow.
Yeah. VR isn't something you do on the move. You do it either seated or confined to like one room somewhere, or maybe a large space, provided that space has been set up for you to have that VR experience in that space.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's tough to kind of blow your mind, dear listener, with this on an audio format. So you should really go check out madewitharkit.com. And there's one other place that I would like to point people to that is closely related, but probably not that interesting to talk about. But a colleague of mine, Luke Rabluski, who coined the term mobile first with a book that he published, geez, I don't know.
It's been a while.
He is now director of product at Google, and he's been doing this series of posts on LinkedIn where each one starts with the question, what would augment reality? And he has, so far, I think 16 different things. It's just like a use case, you know? Here's a use case. Number 13, remember. And it's a guy looking at a picture of a poster that's a Saratoga classic car show. And there's a date on it. It says Sunday, July 16th, 2017. And so, you know, use case, you're looking at something, it has a date on it, you say remember, and it gets saved to your calendar or wherever. Another one is find, where you're looking at a giant, you ever go to buy spices at the supermarket?
Yeah.
And there's like literally hundreds of them, and you're trying to find like marjoram.
Right. Yeah. I really want find. given my eyesight, find would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Given my basement, it would be amazing too.
Cooper's room.
Yeah, exactly. What's another one? I'll just give you one more. Calculate, where you're looking at a receipt and you're calculating a tip. There's a bunch of them. It's really clever. And he has a little mock-up of each one that, you know, he's considering, you know, he's a designer, and he's like, how do you design this interface so that it provides maximum information, but with minimally obscuring the view? There's something creepy about this number 16, where he's like, he's looking up in the sky at an airplane, and he says, identify, and it says American Airlines flight 240, Delta to Florida or whatever. But it's, you know, if you imagine, the tricky part, I think, here is the hardware. I know that's the tricky part, because the software is coming along. The software appears to be coming along nicely. So Facebook's had some amazing mixed reality demos or augmented reality demos. Magic Leap is mind-blowing. Everybody that's used it just can't get their jaw up off the floor. And that's Google's. It's widely rumored that Apple is working on a pair of glasses. So, you know, if Apple comes out with a pair of glasses, I goof on Johnny Ive all the time, but if they come out with glasses, they're probably going to be cool.
They probably are. If they come out with them, they're probably going to be the nicest pair on the market in terms of aesthetics, and probably also fit and comfort.
And the most expensive. But that's cool. I mean,
that's true.
When it's something you're going to wear like that, it needs to, you know, it needs to be nice, or you're not going to. Google Glass was pretty cool piece of hardware, but they didn't look like glasses. So even I was like, when I'd wear them around, I'd be like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Everyone is staring at me.
Yeah.
And it was too, as tiny as they were, it's almost like they just looked weird.
I used to have a pair of glasses with this little sort of like telescopic lens on top, and I would use it sometimes, not nearly as often as I could have when I was in classes for looking at things far away, like on a board or a still life across the room or something like that. And I just, I can think of plenty of times daily where I could use something like that, but outside of the class where I had to have it, I don't touch the things anymore, even though there are parts of my life that they would make easier, just because it's just, I don't know, they just, like, I shouldn't care about how they look, because it's something that helps me do something I can't otherwise do, which is see, but I do, you know?
Yeah, it's awkward. Yeah. I can imagine, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can imagine. It's like one time I hurt my neck and I had to wear this neck brace around. I just didn't feel normal. It felt like,
yeah,
it makes you feel not normal, and like you need to like explain yourself to everybody that walks by. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to, we've talked about AR and VR. It's been a little while, and it just seemed like a fun time to point people at some of the stuff that is coming out. This is like real software. I'm sure it'll be shipping. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely worth something keeping on your radar, because talk about changing the way you interact with the world.
Yeah.
Super interesting. All right. Should probably leave it there.
Yes. Wrap it up for this week and get back to the piles of work awaiting us.
Exactly. All right. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That URL again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.